Our scripture reading today is Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Second one is Esther 4:14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this.
Well, again, I just thank you all for coming out today on another Sunday, and I just look forward to sharing this message I have with you for you today. I give honor to the elders and the trustees and the board and all of you, the congregation, and I give honor to God, who is my Lord and Savior and the lover of my life. I just thank Him for protecting me and keeping me and blessing me and walking with me and talking with me. I just thank Him. He is such a big, important part of my life, and I just give Him all of the praise this morning. And so today I had Lori play that song by the Birds, Season, and I enjoyed listening to it, but that's what I want to talk about today. It's a timing thing, and as they sang in the song, there's a season for everything. And so I was thinking how I wanted to present today, and as I was praying and just kind of thinking about it, I began to think about this time and season in my life and in ours here at BCC. And I thought at my church, the church that I grew up in, and my family church, we believe in prophecy. And someone came in and they ministered to me probably 6 years ago, I guess it was. And he said to me, "You are going to pastor." And I thought, okay. But I had plans. You know, I had my own plans of what I wanted to do. I've been in church and I served with my mom, and so I was familiar with pastoring, and it was like, not necessarily something I had in my heart that I wanted to do. I'm like, I'm going to start a school, and I'm going to teach, and I had all of these things in my mind. And, but that wasn't God's plan, and it wasn't His timing. My mom would always say to me, I would say, "Mom, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that once I'm done with school." And she'd say, "No, I think you're going to be in ministry." And I said, "No, that's not it. I've traveled and I've seen that this is important. This is serious work. You have lives in your hands." And she was like, "No, I think you're going to be in ministry." And she was so right. Here I am today. Amen. But it's a timing thing. And that's what I want to talk about. It was timing. When they were telling it to me, I couldn't receive it because it wasn't God's timing for me. But He was preparing me all that time. I traveled with my mom. I was thinking, she founded our church in 1984, and we're coming up on 40 years now. And then my brother's pastor, and you all met him, and so, but I'm still, you know, connected to that church. But in 1984, I was in high school. I was, I think, a freshman in high school. I was the church secretary. So she was training me then how to work in God's service, how to work and how to serve people. I would go with her to the hospital to visit. I would go with her, you know, for funerals, and I would go for weddings, and I would be underneath doing all of this background work, learning how to do it. I just didn't realize it at the time, but in the right season and in God's timing, I'm walking into it, and I've been prepared now to do this job. And so I thank God for them for speaking into my life, and I thank God that it's all in His timing. And that's what I want to talk about today. I just want to share with you for a little bit, everything. There's a season for everything in our lives. And it's good for us to be prepared as we walk into the season and in God's timing. So I want to start with Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And Solomon is telling us here that there truly is a time, and God's timing is in the word. It says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His timing is not our timing. We, like I heard that prophecy, we think, okay, it's going to happen tomorrow. But no, God has his own perfect timing. You may hear it and God may promise you something. I've met people who he's promised, I'm going to bless you with the right spouse. And they think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to run into this right spouse just for me. And sometimes it takes longer than that. Sometimes it takes God time to prepare them to meet you and to prepare you to meet them. So it's God's timing. And that's what I want to encourage you, not to get discouraged when it seems like things are taking time, when it seems like, oh gosh, I should have this by now. I should be here by now. I should have accomplished this by now. That is not always the case. It's all in God's perfect timing. And I tell you what, his timing is perfect. You can trust in his timing. And it made me think of Abraham. This story always struck me because Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s. Can you not hear me? Are you guys hearing me okay? Okay. Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s when God said, I'm going to bless you with a son. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So in your 90s, do you imagine you want to have a baby? No, it didn't happen. Well, they were in their 70s, I'm sorry, when he said it. It didn't happen for 25 years. So you're already in your 70s thinking, okay, I don't necessarily think we can have a baby in our 70s. But God then takes 25 years. It's his timing. It was the perfect timing for them when they did have Isaac. However, sometimes when we're waiting for God to fulfill his promise to us, we get out of his plan and his will for us. And that's what Sarah and Abraham did. Sarah said, here, take my, I'm 70. I don't really think this, I'm going to help God. Let me help him because I can't see how he's going to do it. Let me help him. She goes and grabs her handmaiden and says, Abraham, take Hagar and, you can have the promised child with her and he'll be our promised child. And haven't we done that before? Like, God, let me help you. Let me help you, God. You said you're going to do this for me, but let me help you. I can, I can see how I can make this all work just for me. But that's not God's plan and it's not his perfect timing. And because they got out of God's will, which I'm sure Abraham was so torn up that he had to, spend time with Hagar, the 25-year-old handmaiden. That's just my joke. Whenever I think about that, I'm sure Abraham was just so devastated at that in his 70s, and he's got to have some time with the 25-year-old. They got out of God's will. Then they had Ishmael. They had a whole battle within their family. All of that was uncalled for. Because they got out of God's will. But what is so good about God is that he did keep his promise and he did give Isaac to them. They did conceive him and have him in their 90s. And, Abraham is known as the father of many nations, So God kept his promises, but it was his timing. So we have to be careful in God's timing that we not get out of his will when we're trying to make it happen for ourselves and not, trying to help God. That's how I look at it. We're trying to help him make it happen. We have to be very careful with that. And know that God says he's going to do it. He's a God that keeps his promises and he's going to do what he promised he's going to do. It also made me think of Joseph, and he's a different story. Joseph, he had these dreams, these big, wonderful dreams that he was going to be this big, wonderful person and family was going to bow down before him and worship him and praise him. And his brothers did not like that promise and that dream that he had. And yet that was God's promise to Joseph. But his brothers didn't care for that much and they sold him into slavery. Sometimes when you're, God has a plan for your life and it's not quite time for you to be in that space, obstacles come your way. An obstacle for Joseph was that he kind of went out and bragged and said all of the wonderful things God was going to do for him, and his brothers didn't like it. They sold him into slavery. Then, from slavery, he began to work for Potiphar. So there's another obstacle. Potiphar's wife thought he was a good-looking young man, and she tried to make her have her way with Joseph. What I like about Joseph is that he kept his moral values. He was like, oh no, I cannot do this to my master, to my boss. I can't. And so they threw him in jail. Another obstacle for Joseph. He still has this promise that he's going to be a man of valor. He's going to be a man of substance. His brothers and his family were going to need him, and he was going to be able to supply their needs. But at this time, it doesn't look like that. He's in jail. What I noticed about Joseph, again, in that time, God was preparing him. While he was in jail, he was learning how to run a system, which is what he ended up doing. He was in jail. You notice he rose to the very top of the jail system. So he was kind of running things. He was a prisoner, but he was running things. And so God was preparing him to be the leader that he was going to be. And so in your time of preparation, God's timing says you may face obstacles in that. You may face obstacles in that time while you're waiting for the promise to come to pass. But it's all in God's timing. You can trust and know that it's all in God's timing. He is not a man that he would lie. And if you know the story of Joseph, he ended up helping the governor or the Pharaoh, and he was placed number two in the land. And his family had to come to him when there was a land of famine. And they had to come to him just what he dreamed all those years ago. But that was, gosh, about a 30-year time period as well that Joseph had to go through before he was able to manifest that dream that he had, before God manifested that for him. So in God's timing, it is so important to know that it doesn't happen overnight. That's one thing. And that you may face obstacles when trying to get to the promise that God has for you. So it's important to stay in God, stay prayerful, and stay in his will, and hear and listen for him as he guides you into the promise that he has for you. And that leads me to Esther. So today I'm really just kind of giving you some examples of different things that can happen while you're waiting for God's promise to come to pass for you, and knowing that it's all in his perfect timing for you. It leads me to Esther, and if you know the story of Esther, it's one that I really like, mainly because it's a girl and she gets to save, she gets to save her people. But what she has to do, the king picks, the girls to come into him, and Esther was one that was picked. Now for Esther, in order to go into the king, you had to have a time of preparation. Again, as I was saying before, you have to be prepared before you walk into your season or your time. And her calling was to save the Jewish people, but before she could do that, there was a time of preparation. And so Esther 2:12 says, before a young woman's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatment prescribed for the women. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. So she had to be prepared for that before she could go in. She couldn't just walk in. They chose her, but no, there was a time of preparation she had to go through. And that was a whole year that she had to go through just being beautified, just being, we're going to give you perfumes, we're going to give you oils, and prepare you before you can go in to see the king. Esther 4:14 says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. But she was chosen for such a time as this. It was her purpose. That was it. She'd come to that time, but before she could come there and she could go in and plead the case for her people, she had to go through a time of preparation. So just know that it's not overnight. From the time that they picked her to come in, from the time that she was able to go in and plead the case for her people, she had to go through a year of preparation before she could go there before the king. And not only that, I didn't list it here, but her people, which was her family and her friends, they prayed and fasted for her so that when she went in, she would be prepared, that she would be covered by God. So that's important as well, that you have a good team of support while you're getting ready to go into the timing and the promises of God for your life. And you want to be prepared when your preparedness meets the opportunity that you walk into. And so that just makes me think, as I'm coming towards the end, that made me think, why do people feel like, and I'm not sure in the case of the disciples of Christ, but in the non-denominational churches that I've been in, some people feel like they find God on Sunday. By the next Sunday, they feel like they should be the bishop. No preparation time, no time of training. It's just, okay, I've got God. I hear that I'm called. I should be in charge now. Does that make any sense? No, we have to have that time we spend with God. We got to get into His presence. We got to love on God, get to know Him. How can I share with you if I'm not spending time with Him, listening to Him tell me, you know, what to say, what to give you that I think that He thinks will bless you, I think will bless you. It's because I spend time talking to Him all week saying, God, what do you want me to share this week? What is it that you want your people to have? What should I share? What will bless them over the week? What will keep them going for another week until they come back into church again? So, it's just important to know that it doesn't happen overnight. And I just want to stress that point, that it doesn't happen overnight. And that leads me to David as one of my final examples. And what I like about David is that he did spend time in God's presence. He was out tending the sheep, but while he was out there, he was singing hymns and he was blessing God and talking to God and loving on God and receiving God's love back. He was in God's presence. And that is so important in your time of wait. When you're waiting for God's timing to meet your preparedness and you're waiting for your season to come, it's important that you spend time with God. You spend time in His Word. You come to Bible study and learn about Him. Learn what His ways are so that you're familiar. You get to know Him and have a personal relationship with Him. You know Jesus and He's your friend. And you know that in times of trouble, you can call on Him. You know that. And that's important as you're getting prepared to go into your season. And that's what David did. And David, when he was anointed, Samuel came to anoint David as king when he was between the ages of 12 and 16. But he didn't become king until he was 30. And in that time, he fought Goliath. So he got some training in battle. He had to run from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him because he knew he was going to take his place. He had to battle with his family, which are things that we always have to do, you know. In most families, there's always a little bit of a battle going on. But there was a timing. It was almost an 18-year period from the time he was anointed to be king until the time he actually became the king. So just to reiterate again, there's a timing in there. It's God's timing, and it doesn't always happen overnight. But you can put your trust in God and know that He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He's going to be with you always, even until the very end. And so as I come to my last scripture for today, sometimes you feel like maybe you missed it. Maybe you missed what God called you to do. Maybe, you know, you did the wrong thing. You were distracted. You fell out of favor with God. You left and you went out to experience other things. But I want you to know that when God has something for you, He has it for you. And so you can trust that He's going to restore all the things that you think you may have lost when you weren't walking completely in His will. And that's what Joel 2:22-27 says. It says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." So even if you feel like you missed it, if you feel like you've done too much and God can't do it, He can't help you, He can't use you, He won't give you your promise. No, in Joel He says He will restore back everything you think you lost in that time that you weren't walking completely in His will. He's going to restore it back to you. And that's the word I want to leave you with today. On all of it, you must be prepared, knowing that His timing is perfect and it doesn't happen overnight. But know that even if you you missed it or you feel like you missed it, God will restore back everything that you've lost. So let us go into prayer today. And today I want to pray for those who feel like they've missed it, feel like they've gotten it wrong and that they missed the will of God for their life. That's who I want to pray for. I want you to know that you have not. God has a call on you. He's going to use you just as he promised. All you have to do now is get into his presence. Get into him and find out what it is. Seek his face. Pray and seek his face. Ask him, what is it that you have for me to do now, God? And so I want to just think, want you to think as I'm going to pray that for Jesus, it was he was 12 when he first went into the temple and was ministering, but his actual ministry didn't start until he was 33. So just know that God's timing, it's just not our timing, and his ways are not our ways. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you and we give you, God, all of the praise. You're so worthy, so worthy. God, today I'm asking that you touch the hearts of those, God, who feel maybe that they have missed you, God, and that they won't get the promise that you have and that they won't walk into the season, God, that you have for them. But Lord, we thank you and praise you that nothing's too hard for you and that you are never lost in God, that you have them right in the palm of your hand, God, and that you are making a way for them where there seems to be no way, and that your love, God, you love them eternally. There's nothing they can do, God, that you will not love them and bring them into you, bring them home to you. So we thank you today for that. Dear God, we pray for healing, that your healing virtues, God, will flow throughout this room, that you will touch the bodies of those who are in need of a special healing from you. We thank you, God, for your healing virtue. We thank you, God, for your deliverance. We speak deliverance, God, for those who are wrestling. They are wrestling, God, with addiction, and they are wrestling with depression. God, we thank you, and we ask that you bless, God, and continue to lift them up and cover them, God, in your blood. We give you all of the praise, God, all of the honor, and all of the glory. You are so worthy to be praised today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.